Blog Talk Radio.
What's the word? Good morning, family. What is the word? I mean, so the Midwest is cold. It's a little chilly out there. And back here on the East Coast, it's a little warm. Nice and warm. It actually felt a little toasty. It was welcome to be back home. And I'm enjoying it. Happy Saturday. Happy Xmas Day or Kwanzaa or ain't this the end of Rosh Hashanah? What's that Jewish holiday that's going on right now?
Hanukkah.
Yeah, them people. You know all that shit. I don't know what's going on. Ain't it the end of that? Because that ends right before Christmas.
They try to butt it right up against Christmas so the little Jew children don't think they're getting the shaft. Yeah.
So, we left off last week abruptly. I apologize for that. I don't know what the hell I did wrong, but somewhere along the line I did something wrong. So we came back this week and we're going to talk about relationships, love, sex, New Year, new love. Is it for you? You know, folks are amazing to me. And, you know, we'll go into this in a minute, but folks are amazing to me with their rhetoric versus their actions and vice versa. You know, Kim said that, you know, she said a couple of questions I've been posing throughout the week, and I asked the question of in dating and or relationship, what's the most vexing part for you? And Kim was like, that folks' words don't match their actions and or vice versa. And I'm like, I can dig that. You know, I'm not foolish. I understand that we have some tricksters out here that can pull a fast one on me, you know, but if you're always the one, and I'm not talking about her because I know her personally, I know this isn't her situation. But if you're the person that always gets the fast one pulled on, yo, it's not them, it's you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm in a singles group on Facebook, and there was a conversation going back and forth about a month or so ago, and a young lady was like, yo, you know, the men are going to blame us for our piss poor choices. Well, yeah. Like, dude, you can't have crop without soil and rain. It just doesn't work. Like, you can't just have soil and expect the crop. You need water. There are two parts to every equation. There's two parts to every equation. Now, I'm not saying you had the greatest percentage in the downfall or the triumph of in the equation. Well, let's break that back. Let's go back to that. Why you always want to take the greatest slice of the pie and the triumph of the equation, but you never want to step in and say, I had a hand to play in the downfall of the equation. Like, it don't work that way. It doesn't work that way. It's not all her. It's not all him. It's impossible. If two people are engaged in this escapade, somewhere along the line, somebody took time off and said, fuck it, I'm just going to ride with it. Now, what you didn't realize or recognize is that ride might last a little longer than you thought or had hoped and or had planned or were willing to accept. But once you got on that slope and that ride took off, whoa, Nelly. But somewhere along the line, we get complacent and say, oh, fuck it, you know, it can't be that bad. It can. You know, from the texting, y'all know I detest this. I can't stand texting. You know, my man shared with me, and I think I've shared this with you all. He was broken up with via text message, and it really shot to his ego. And I've had folks, you know, text me and, you know, this, that, this doesn't work, this works, whatever. Don't text me that crap. Let's have a conversation. Adults talk. Typing is not talking. Especially when your ass can't type. So there are words misspelled or misplaced, and now I'm reading and trying to interpret what you're saying and understand something. There's a man mind over here. So there's a man mind trying to interpret a woman's emotions. Now, where in the hell in history did that ever work out well? Just please, tell me one time in history did that ever work out well. Thank you. That's exactly what I thought. You can't. So why are you on
that? I don't even presume to ever think that a man could get his process and speed up to that of a woman. So
thank you.
I'm going to say never.
Thank you. But you're going to leave us to interpret what you meant or what you're feeling. Yeah, that's smart. That's a smart-ass thing to do. We dumb as hell, but you're going to leave this important piece to us to figure out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's going to work out really well for us. Trust me. Like, come on, book. Really? Really? Really. I had a sister tell me. She says, yo. I'm sorry. She didn't tell me. She texted me. She said, yo, I don't think, you know, we're a good match. You know what I'm saying? We're just not vibing. You know, blah, 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 blah. Like, okay. Was I supposed to get upset about that? Was I supposed to call you? Is that one of those times when I'm supposed to respond? Should I not respond? If I respond, what should I say? If I don't respond, should I expect a follow-up from you later? And if you do follow-up later, should I then respond to that? All of this shit could have been worked out in the conversation 2 to 3 minutes. Hey, I appreciate your time, but it just ain't working for me. You know what I'm saying? I'm going this way, you're going that way. It doesn't seem like we're able to get together in the middle, and that's okay. That's okay. That's okay.
Even that seems like a lot. I think he goes, thank y'all for coming out. God bless you. Good night.
God bless. Good night. You hit him with the Russell Simmons. Thank y'all for coming out. God bless. Good night. Hit him with the
Def
Russell.
Def Jam.
That's it.
Def.
Yeah. I feel you. I feel you. I definitely feel you. But look, and sometimes you don't even get that. I've been guilty. I have been 100% guilty of not even giving that. I've been shook daddy by some things some women have said. I'm like, yeah, no, we ain't never gonna talk to you. Cause that's just not gonna, it's not gonna be good if we ever talking. It's not gonna be good. It's either not gonna be good for me, it's not gonna be good for you, or it just ain't gonna be good for us in general. You know what I'm saying? Seriously. Seriously, it's not a good thing.
Well, here's the bad thing about that, okay? It ain't nothing worse than unresolved bonds. They don't, you know, dissolve like sugar and Kool-Aid, all right? They just settle at the bottom, in the bottom of the cup, and then whenever you get ready to use it again, you have a whole lot of this residue left over that the other person, you know, don't want to have to deal with. You have to resolve things or else it carries over. It's the very nature of humankind. So people who don't give even a second to finish something, they call that clinically, you know, that's a form of insanity. A fear of resolve.
Fear of resolve?
Fear of closure. No. The confrontation, they're so afraid the confrontation of the actual nature of it that they just would rather ghost somebody, leave. You know, they do drastic measures never to deal with the actual situation again.
No, it's not about fear. It's just about, I don't want to talk to your crazy ass. How about that one?
Okay. Why?
Because you crazy. And I had the inkling in the beginning. Like, oh, you crazy. But you know, the crazy ones got the best booty in the world. It worked out that way. God just blessed the crazy ones with the best booty in the world. He just be like, look. I know you crazy, so let me give you this blessing. Boom. And then you get a little taste of that booty. You be like, good Lord. Yeah, I knew she was crazy. You didn't have to do this to me, though. I knew she was crazy. I thought it, but I didn't. I didn't. Oh, good Lord. But then I got the booty. It can't be sanity with all this good booty right here. It can't be sanity.
All right. I want to ask you a question. Give me three things a woman can do to let you know instinctually that she has some kind of psych issue. And that's, you know, I prefer that over crazy. But what can she do immediately?
Continuously talk about herself. Constantly ask for something, but never willing to give in return. And, you know, this isn't a tit for tat situation, meaning one's not keeping score. However, I do understand when my bucket is empty and your bucket is full, and your bucket is full because you got all the shit that was in my bucket. And I'm asking you for a slice, and you're like, I ain't got mine now. So that's two things. The third thing is, this is funny because one of my boys said this to me not too long ago. He says, be of a certain age and never have kids and or ever get married at a certain age. Because that right there tells me your ass is selfish.
You never had kids for no medical reason, and you never were married. Yeah, that tells me your ass is crazy. So somebody else came before me and was able to see through the veil, and I just didn't pick it up. You're 50 years old.
That's actually...
And you 50 years old, you never had a child, and you were never married? Yo, your ass is crazy.
You're crazy. And see, it's funny how you would say that, because I think if you've had too many children and you've been through too many men, you're crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You're absolutely crazy. So I guess that there's insanity at the end of both that spectrum on both ends, and
mm-hmm.
normality is somewhere in there between a love child ratio. You either was able, and see,
right.
I don't really deal. So now you've hit a whole nother milestone when you say you were never able to get married. Because, you know, I know quite a few people who've been together so long, but marriage is just simply it's not an issue.
Right.
So, but I don't think either one of them are particularly insane. I guess I'm trying to figure out if never having kids, I'm going to say that might almost be legit, because if you on certain psych meds, they tell you don't have children. But never being married might not be, tell your friend, it might not be the best barometer, because people just don't play that no more. They don't want to split their assets. They don't want to deal with long-term chronic illness. They just want to have fun and be in love, and so it's smarter to do that shacking up than it is to do that, you know, legally.
You know,
well, how do I know?
Look,
how do I
legal...
know when I'm dealing with somebody and saying, "Hold on, let me give you four," because you gave me yours out of a male to a female perspective. I know a man might have issues when he has to do a lot of accommodations for his body, like if he's a short dude with a lot of bedazzled clothes on. You know, I think sagging to me is an accommodation for character. If he got to, like, wear oversized studded glasses or something, or he got a gold ring on every finger, to me, needing all that on the outside, it's a sign of insanity. I also don't like men who reach out and grab or touch or, you know, feel like they don't have to respect physical boundary. If I meet a gentleman and he tries to touch me in any way in the first 10 minutes, I consider him to be maybe even a little dangerous. And also men who insist on talking over other people no matter what the conversation is about. If he gets louder and, you know, more flagrant with his arms, no, it don't matter where he is. He has to be the loudest person there. I consider that to be a dangerous and possibly insane man. And it don't look dangerous when you see it. He looked like the happiest, jokingest dude in the room, but he's the loudest. You understand?
Now, I took exception when you said tried to touch you, like, because I'm a hugger. You know what I'm saying? So I like to greet via hug. So I apologize if that's offensive to you, but I'm not trying to hold you down, nothing like that. But if you're walking up the street or across the street, something like that, I will try to hold your hand to make sure that I give you that feeling of comfort and safety. You know what I'm saying? But
once you're in a relationship, though. When you meet somebody, you cannot touch them. The best you can do is offer the idea of being touched, like putting your arms up towards them. But you do not reach out and touch anybody when you meet them without their initiation. It's bad form.
Okay. I gotta do a survey on that one. See how that goes over. Maybe I did turn off somebody that I wanted to turn on. That ain't a good thing.
Well, what it says is their space is your space and your space is your space, and that don't work. People have, you know, in this country, we live by that space bubble we have around each other, right? Most people say it should last as far as the tip of your, the tip of your fingers, or at least the tip of your elbows around in a sphere. That's how you know you're not pushing into nobody's space. But if you, if I walk up on you and grab your hand, even in a handshake, and lean in to hug you before you decide whether you want me to touch you or not, that's not good.
How long do you think that takes, though, for someone to be warm enough or open enough to figure out if they want you to touch them? Not sex them, but just touch them.
Yeah, it depends on the situation. If business, it happens a little bit later than personal. When you go to church where you're supposed to touch somebody, you come in with the assumption that it's okay for most of them until you get that one deacon who holds your hand too long. But
too long.
If you are if you are on a, in a, on the bus, if you catch the bus in a strange city, you don't want to be touched.
I'm thinking because I'm at brunch yesterday, and the waitress was extremely friendly. Extremely friendly. And I was enjoying it because she was tactful, tasteful, while she was being extremely friendly. And, you know, some folks might have taken it as being flirtatious. I didn't take it that way. I thought she was just being very accommodating. And the brothers that were sitting behind me, both of them just so happened to be fruit. They were, I'm sorry, folks, for you all that don't know what that means, they were in the Nation of Islam. So they were discussing.
You said fruit. You said fruit. And then you said, now, I thought you was trying to say they were homosexual. And then
I didn't say fruity.
I
said fruit. Fruit, not fruity. Lord have mercy. Why we got to go to gay? Why we got to go to gay? And why not gay about these brothers? They were fruit. They were in the Nation of Islam. Fruit, not fruity. I would have said fruity. I would have said SNL, Sweet and Low. They were fruit. They were in the Nation of Islam. And they were discussing a project that they have going on, in which they are opening up a community center. Actually, it's a social center. They want to open up a meeting place for adults, you know, for professionals to come to be able to meet, exchange information, potentially build with one another, and move on. They're going to have food there. And stuff like that, so people will be interested and stay. But, you know, I was like, okay, that's what's up. So she was like all up in the mix of the conversation, and we're laughing at her. She was real cool. She was really, really cool. You know, another great experience at the spot. Another some good brothers I was able to meet yesterday. So that's what's up, man. You know, I had no idea how important getting out and opening up my mouth and my world would be to my continued happiness, to be honest with you. And the brother reminded me yesterday, he says, you know, the minister said, Minister Farrakhan was saying to people, as we come into this new year, we need to do something that we failed to do, which is we need to be more kind to one another. Just be more loving to one another. You know, folks are, as we just displayed, when I said fruit and you thought I was saying fruity, we're very quick to go left. Why can't we go right just as quickly as we go left? Why are we so bent on assuming the worst or thinking the worst first? Why can't we think the best first? Now, that doesn't mean that you go out here and you let your head get beat over by six dudes that look like they about to beat your head over. You know what I'm saying? If you see danger, recognize danger and make a different move. But, you know, you see someone coming your way, there's nothing wrong with saying hello. There's nothing wrong with exchanging something more than just a greeting. It might be a pleasantry. It may be, hey, you know, I met on the plane when I came out. She was natural. So I said, hey, sister, I love your hair. She said, okay. So how long have you been natural? Just a very casual conversation. But I wanted to leave her with that because I wanted to put in her toolbox a nugget that wasn't one of someone trying to hit on her, someone trying to get her math, someone, you know, trying to do something other than just have a conversation with her. That's it.
That's powerful. That's too,
it.
What I tell people, communication for communication's sake, where you don't necessarily want to come out with nothing on the other end. It is how we, it's social lubricant, you know. It's like literally
yes,
squeezing grease on people and allowing them to be around each other. Mm-hmm. And so you just got to have your heart. Like you said, you had to put in your heart. You had to put in your heart. All right, when I go outside today, I'm going to make eye contact with people. I'm going to, you know, have a not a resting bitch face, but a resting, you know, satisfied face or you know. And I'm going to, you know, keep a upbeat, you know, banter, you know, keep my banter upbeat. And you keep doing that long enough and you have all kind of people in your face and promotions. It's just a atmosphere that you create around you based on how you decide you're going to treat people. And it's hard because people will give you plenty of reasons to call them double-headed demons, you know. They will get you. But like you were saying earlier, how willing are you to be got? Like you said, if they keep bumping your head, it's a reason for that. There's a reason why upbeat people, you know, eventually get tired. It's because somebody told them, get that happy shit out my face, you know, and with your stupid ass. And something like that. And
one too many times.
One too many. And they just like, man, forgive mankind. But now, when you can get on, go to sleep, and eat that, you know, go ahead on and get back up the next day. And like, okay, well, that was them. This is me. This is now. The power in that is so, it's almost magic.
I tell you, I got to get this in real quick. And actually, he just came in on cue. I was just about to say, we're supposed to be joined by Donnie this morning. And I wanted to say what I need to say. Good morning, Donnie. How you doing, brother?
Outstanding, my brother. How the hell are you, man? I'm sorry, how the hell
are you? I'm well, thank you. Oh, yes. Heaven on earth, sir. It's so beautiful here. Yeah. I was just about to make a comment, and I was hoping that you joined us, and you clicked right in, right time, so I was able to draw you into this. So Rashi was just saying, I don't know if you heard what she said or not, but she was saying how you create this culture around you when you go out and you greet people, and you have you're looking for nothing out of that but conversation. And I'll share this story with you two. And Donnie, it's very important that I share this with you because, you know, this is something that I've done for years. If I see an older gentleman, if I see an older lady, I tend to walk up to them. Not only do I greet them, but I greet them in a very specific way to let them know from my heart of hearts that I appreciate them. I see them. And I still value what they have to give to society. So what I say to them is, sir or ma'am, I usually say, if it's a lady, I say, hey, young lady, how you doing? You know, good morning to you, young lady. If it's a man, hey, young man, how you doing, sir? And I did this specifically at a concert venue we have here in Baltimore to this couple. And I spoke to the husband first, because that's what you do when a husband and wife are together. So I spoke to the husband, and as I was going to greet the wife, the husband snaps back with, "Who the hell are you talking to? I ain't no young man. I'm a grown-ass man. You don't talk to me like that." Whoa, partner. Whoa, sir. First off, I meant no disrespect in what I was saying. You know, I apologize if you found something in it, but you ain't going to disrespect me either. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I was simply just trying to exchange with you a very positive thought. And the brother was in, you know, he was in his 60s, maybe 70s, you know, and I had never once had a reaction like that. He was my first, and you know, you always want to have a first, and he was my first. And it hurt me. I'm not even going to lie. It hurt. I was hurt like hell. I was like, really, dude? Really? You know, I could have just said nothing. I could have pushed by you two, you know, anything and everything. Here I am trying to honor you, to be honest with you. At least in my mind, I'm trying to honor you. And you want to take it all the way there? Really? What's wrong with you? And his wife was like, "Baby, calm down. Like, it's not that serious." And he just kept going. I was like, maybe she said something to him before I rounded the corner. Like, I really don't know. But I'm... Donnie, I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know how I played that one wrong at all.
Well, you know, there's ways to counteract that sort of stuff. You know, we also know very real that some people just live to be offended. Okay, you know, they're waiting to be offended somehow or another, and their reaction, their default position is to not like something. But if a guy, look at it this way, you know me. We've known each other for, what, 19 years now?
Ooh,
19 years, okay? And in 6 days, I'll be 68 years old. So when I start thinking I'm almost 70 years old. A lot of people come back to me and say, "Well, you don't look it." Well, to do what I'm going like that, says, "Who are you talking about? I'm a grown-ass man." Well, you know what, sir? When they say good black don't crack, then they must have been talking about you, man. So look. I'm sorry, man. You look younger than me. What can I say?
Okay. Let me tell you, Brother Don. Don't nothing make somebody madder than when you compliment their anger. When they come with heat and you pour ice on that and you don't match them heat for heat, that's so frustrating. They be like, "I hate you, but I love you, brother." And they like, it confuses people when you pour ice on that fire like that.
And what is the cost of doing that, Lee? First of all, the cost is that you weren't going to be hurt. So if you had come back with love and to be able to just and blast them out the water with your kindness, and you won. Not that you were trying to win the battle, because you were sincere in trying to compliment the brother, man. In fact, it was just a default position. You said, "Hey, young man." Okay?
Exactly.
So if you wanted to be offended by that, then let him be offended. Let him be offended.
Right.
But your heart was in the right place. Right. You did the right thing. So you have no regrets or something like that. Ever.
Nah. But I'm telling you, that moment, though, it rocked the hell out of me. I can't even lie. I was like, whoa.
And retrospective reasoning would say, you know, if I'd only been thinking, I could have done this. I could have done that. Okay, well, no problem.
Exactly.
It didn't happen. That's all.
Right. All right. So, we've talked about this for the past couple of weeks, and we've been very fortunate to have you available to us, and we appreciate you. But we wanted to have you on specifically this week because, as I shared with, we gave a little hint last week as to the posts and things that you were making about relationships, and the one that caught my eye was a couple of weeks ago when you said something to the effect of, you know, what you was talking to the ladies, you like, women, men are not your girlfriends, you know. And you know, I'm sitting, I'm reading it, and I'm amening, like, yes, like, I've said this a million and one times, and it comes into play in my world and in my life because, you know, obviously we think differently. Men and women think differently. And, you know, the beauty of relating is, again, finding that middle ground. Can we find that middle ground without, as the young man was, being offended and being offensive about everything we do? Like, you know, if you come to me, so I had someone come to me, you know, when I got back from Kansas, Missouri, when, you know, it's like, hey, did you have fun? There was no fun about that trip. Like, that wasn't about fun. It was about business. I needed to go out. I needed to sit with Rashi. We needed to do some stuff. And there it is. There it was. Like, why do women always want fun to be involved in everything you do? Like, men don't think like that. And the sister got offended. And I was like, yo, why are you mad? Like, you came to me with some bull crap. I'm just telling you, know, I'm good. You know, the beauty in the trip was I got there safely. I got home safely. That was it. And, you know, but why are you mad at
but
me?
Lee,
because
Lee, but,
I didn't
but,
want.
But, mm-hmm. But Lee, hold on. Lee, let me. Can I ask you? Let me back up just for a minute. You said you went to you. Someone knew that you went to Kansas City. Okay.
Correct.
For a trip. And they
right.
said, did you have fun? And that
correct.
Took you back? That upset you a little bit?
No, not me. Not at all. I was just like, no, there was no fun involved in the trip. It was a business trip. So I just went
okay,
out
then,
to do what I needed to do. It took her back because she was like, yo, you know, you didn't have fun? And I was like, okay, chill with this fun word. Like, there was no fun. You know, there was no fun. Like, dog, why do we always have to have fun? Why does everything have to be about fun? No fun.
Mm-hmm.
None whatsoever.
Well,
dang. It was all
well, now I feel bad because I certainly had fun. So, wow, I'm going to have to go back over this time to figure out what the hell happened.
But my mindset wasn't about having fun. My mindset was about, did we do what we needed to do? And we did what we needed to do. You know what I'm saying? So that's all I was on. I wasn't about fun. Fun was the first thing for my damn mind. I wanted to eat, sleep, conduct our business, and take my ass home. That was it. I'm happy. I'm good.
If she had asked you, if she had asked you, did you enjoy the trip, would that have made a difference?
Yes. I enjoyed the trip. It was a good trip. Yeah. Yeah, I think
okay.
it would have.
All right.
So semantics are
for
okay. Well, now I want to know what kind of outfit could I have put on for you to have fun? Now I'm mad.
No, but it wasn't about. But that wasn't the purpose. You know, that wasn't.
I'm gonna take you to a strip club next time. We got one with the women with black
hair
and dust on the bottom of their feet, and
nah,
we got some. Strip
that definitely wouldn't have been fun for me.
We'll make you celibate with the women we got in our strip club. That's where I'm taking you.
Nah, that ain't strip clubs and me don't get along like that. Not at all. Not high on my list at all. Never have been. I think it's a waste of money. I think it's a waste of money. I mean, you got the internet, you got porn on the internet. Why you need to go to a strip club? Like, that's just a waste of money. Why do that? That don't make no sense. I ain't getting none either way, so hell, I might as well just watch it in the privacy of my own home. But Donnie, so I want to go back to your premise, bro, because I think it was a good one. So again, I don't remember everything you wrote word for word, but I remember the feeling of righteousness that I had as I was reading what you wrote. What sparked that in you? What sparked that comment from you?
Well, the comment was along the lines of, ladies, just remember he's your man, not your girlfriend. And if
right.
you think in terms of the type of relationship a lady has with her girlfriend, okay, there could be loyalty, there could be bonding, affinity, and various other things which go on. But I think that what happens, and it's what I have seen, over the years of being on the internet, which is the best laboratory. If you want to think about it, if you want to get general thoughts, patterns of people, just go to the internet and read what people are posting. And it could be all any strata. But when I see people in general, and in this case it just happened to be a lady, well, he'll be all right as soon as I can make him over into my image. When I can control him. So in other words, you know, you're taking a man who you want to be a man in every respect of your relationship, and you want to turn him into a girlfriend and not the man to whom you must now show a certain deference to, a certain type of relationship. In other words, you know, if he's going to be your man, you know, the quote, your man, well, he's your boyfriend. He's your man. He's your partner. Okay, he's not just a casual friend. Okay, and the dynamics of that kind of relationship cannot be on the same level as just how you treat your girlfriend. You know, where you have fun, you have a laugh, and everything else. But a relationship between a man and a woman, in this case, is far different than it would be if you were having a girlfriend. So some ladies that I have seen in my experience, they get a hold of a guy, and they treat him like one of their girlfriends, not like the man who they're committing to getting into a relationship.
Do you want me to say the word?
The genesis behind that.
Do you want me to say the word? Because you pulled up. They treat you like a bitch.
It's your show.
They treat you like a bitch.
No.
Not that at all. Okay. They treat you like a girl.
Okay.
They treat you like a girl.
Like one of their girls. Like one of their girlfriends.
Right.
He's supposed to be your partner. He's supposed to be your man. Not just somebody that is a lady who's your girlfriend. My sister can help me understand, express that differently. But I'm just saying, there's a whole and you did allude to the fact that it's Mars and Venus, okay? If you want to have a Venus-Venus relationship, that's up to you. But if you want to have a Mars-Venus relationship, you got to understand what's going on. And a man is being forced, sometimes to his credit, to understand what it means to be with a Venus. You know, you can't just be Mars only out here. So we're sensitive. We're being made to be sensitive to what the women need. So, okay, we can accommodate that. But then again, you know, what do you need a man for? Ladies, what do you need a man for if you're not going to have him be the man that you want him to be? When I see written all the time, I'm a strong, independent black woman, and I don't need no man. Okay, first of all, it makes me want to vomit. Okay, because if a man says, I'm a strong, independent black man and I don't need a woman, how ridiculous does that sound? Okay,
right.
But every woman, no matter how strong she is, wants some man, if she wants to be with a man, to be as strong, if not stronger than she is. Otherwise, he's a roommate, he's a girlfriend, he's a breeder, or whatever else you want to call him, but he's not your man. He's just some guy, okay, that you want to control. And women, and men do the same thing when they dominate women like that. How stupid is this? You want a pet or you want a life partner? So when people get into stuff like that, that's what drives me crazy. It just drives me crazy. So that was the genesis behind that post.
Man,
you either want a man or you want a girl.
That's a lot to unpack, brother. Let me tell you. If I could just tell you how many layers you just laid down, I'm a person who pays very close attention to words. Verbiage is everything. And to hear some of your verbiage, you know, are you married? Do you have a fairly healthy, because what I'm saying is, let me show you some of the terminology you tossed out of there. One of the things you said, when she gets a hold to a man, almost kind of like a hunting prey, predator prey type. And that in itself has so many connotations to it, when she get a hold. You talk about using verbiage to control, that talking to your man is a form of mind control almost. I may have to sit. Let me sit back and listen, because I think I'm going to learn something here today. Let me shut up and listen.
No. I'm not good at telling folk what to do outside of work. So
when you say, Don, do you want a life partner? It took me a long time to understand that that is, in effect, what I needed. I need someone whom is going to be able to make the plans and tell me to show up, and then I'll follow through. And then I can do the same, like, hey, we're going to do this on Tuesday. Okay, cool, got you, and boom. Hey, baby, I made plans for us to do this on, you know, 2 weeks from now, Thursday. We need to do this. We need to be here. So I said, okay, cool, got you. And that's what works for me. I think that a lot of people don't know what the heck a relationship looks like. They just don't. They don't have a lot of good examples. They're relying on novellas, which is Spanish for soap operas, and books by Zane or whomever else. And no,
Don't get me started with Zane.
You know, so you know all these chronicles of this and episodes of that. It's like, yo, that's not what it is. You know, I don't even think most people are willing to put in the work to be in a relationship, because as soon as you hit their button or their buttons, they want to eject. And it's like, that's not the time to eject. That's actually the time to engage, because now we're starting to get to know one another. You know, and I'm not talking about in a negative way, meaning you stealing somebody's money or some crap like that, but you're doing something that irritates me. Talk to me. Let me know. If I don't know, I don't know. And the longer you put it off, the worse it's going to be when it comes out of your mouth. Then it's going to be a blow up, and I'm sitting there like, but yo, all I did was put the spoon on the counter. that's it. What just happened right now? It was the spoon on the counter. How do we go back 3 weeks from today because I put the spoon on the counter? Well, you just do this all the time. I do what? What are you talking about? And again, and I don't know how much you caught about our opening, but I was saying, you know, where in history has it ever been a good idea to leave man to figure out a woman? That has never been a good idea. It never works. It don't work. Don't do that. If it's something that we do, let us know immediately so we can adjust, correct it, and then we can go forward. But if you holding on to it for 3-4 weeks at a time, and then it just blows up, we sitting back on the phone later on like, yo, she just crazy. And that's what comes up. Yo, she crazy. I don't understand what just happened. All that I did was put the spoon on the counter. Yo, I swear to God, that's all I did. Spoon on the counter, son. And she just went back to 3 weeks, and she, the kids, and
it's not that.
My mother, and
just put a spoon,
like, what just happened?
Lee, you did not just put a spoon on the counter. This is what you did. You let 1 to 5 consecutive disagreements go down without resolution. And so when it's time, the spoon on the counter is the catalyst for resolution, instead of each consecutive disagreement being its own catalyst for resolution. Unresolved shit does not dissolve like sugar in Kool-Aid. It settles to the bottom and it leaves residue. You have to keep stirring it. You have to stir it until it dissolves. And the stirring, believe it or not, is some of that conversation / mind control that most men feel like they can't handle. They don't want to talk about it no more. Quit bringing up old shit. And that there's two statements that are quit killing us. Stop snitching and quit bringing up old shit. Them two together is going to kill us.
Well, to answer your question about me earlier, my friend, is I've been married now for 34 and a half years. And so one of the things that I have learned along the way is what Eldridge Cleaver said many, many years ago, 40-something years ago. He says, people who are at differences don't sit down and talk to each other. Or they'll stand up, but they won't sit down and talk. You got to sit down and have a conversation. And one of the things that brother needs to do is be prepared to listen. I mean, really, just listen. a sister appreciates you listening to her almost more than anything else you can do. If you're thoughtful and paying attention to what she's got to say, okay, and then once you get it resolved, then, to your point, my friend, you don't want to hear it again. That's what men say. Oh, I thought we handled that before. Well, we got to bring that back up again. Did we settle that before? Apparently not.
Right.
So then, all right, let's get it settled right now. It's like when people say, Donnie, look, do me a favor, man. Can you pray for me? My response is, let's pray right now. Let's pray right now then.
Mm.
So in other words, if there's something on your mind that's a pet peeve that you want me to know about, tell me right now. In fact, I have learned to say, okay, I'm listening. Because if you don't say
right.
that, they're never going to believe you. If you don't sit down after you say it, they're never going to believe you again. And one of the things that happens, and both of you have alluded to this, love itself is a process. And it's not something you should just jump right into. You can't just say, all right, we're going together now. You don't even know each other. You know, you jump into a situation where you're living together now, where you have no idea who this person is. Have you taken the time to watch them eat? Have you taken the time to see how they treat their relatives and everything, how they treat their friends? What do your friends say about them? No, y'all jump right into a relationship, maybe for economics or whatever, but then you're roommates. You're not lovers. Don't confuse the two, okay? But if you're going to take the time to take the time, then take all the time that's required to make this work. Fill up every empty space with whatever effort you can apply to it to make it work. Now, and the hardest thing for men to do, and I'll just confess this, is to listen. I'll tell you now, it's hard to listen because we've been required over the centuries over the years to be the fix-it, all right? Come up with a solution. Well, sometimes they don't want you to fix it. They just want you to hear them out, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you need to be able to digest that and then repeat it back to them, and I hear what you're saying. You know what? That's a good point because I know I have some issues sometimes, and, you know, I try to put them away and everything else, and maybe some other time we can go over some of the issues I may have. But right now I hear you, my love. I hear everything you're saying, and if you'll bear with me while I try to adjust to you, and as we adjust to each other, we can make this work. I mean, that's the one thing, and you've got to be willing and able to put in the time and the work. Listening is a skill. Listening is work in itself. It's like reading a book. If you got a 400-page book you got to read, well, you got to start with page one and just go through every single chapter. Don't just sit there. You can't download a perfect relationship. It's not going to happen. Now, let me have you go back to something you said. All right. Here's the problem I have with people like Zane, okay? I have a problem with Zane. And I have a problem.
I thought you said you were going to put it.
No, hold on. No, this is going to be a salient point. I have a problem with Zane,
okay.
And I have a problem with people who've been made to say this phrase, well, a real man or a real woman would. You know, get out of my face with that crap. You know, your relationship is as real as you both define it to be. Don't have some erotic novelist sit there and tell you how your love life should be. Look, not every man you're going to run into is going to be Idris Elba. Okay, Idris Elba can only do one at a time, and he's not going to do you, okay? It's just like me and Sally Richardson. I mean, Sally Richardson is not going to be interested in me, okay? And I can look at the porn, like you said earlier, you can look online and marvel at, oh, man, look at all this and everything else. But what's that going to mean? What's that going to do for you? So when I see Zane and writings like this and everything else that make certain women believe that every relationship that they're in must be the way that Zane has described it, and then they get let down, they say that, well, all men are dogs. All women are dogs. All women are this and everything. Give me a break. Quit reading that crap, okay?
Wait. Zane doesn't go to an alternate universe to get these tales, okay? And I'm not a disciple. I am an avid reader of all things, including Zane. I have read her works. But even if you go to Zane, one of her speakers, where she talks about her work and how she writes, she say she borrows very heavily from things that are being written and told to her. These are not pie-in-the-sky notions that she's dragging out of her thoughts entirely.
Mm.
So when you deny her, the validity of her works, what you're saying is you're denying
the validity of the many women who have written into her to tell her that that is exactly the reality they're living and trying to survive through. Now, let me tell you what is bringing. Let me tell you what brings in the idea of the all men or women, and I don't use the term dogs. I say just not worthy of love, because that's the basic. That's what they're saying. When you say somebody's a dog or whatever, you're saying that they don't express or are not capable of reciprocity and love in a way that makes them human. And I don't really believe that humans are dog capable. You know, even special needs children like to be hugged. So listen, what we're saying is, when you try to establish trust bonds with people, when you try to reach out and establish the bond of trust, and that gets broken and bruised, that happening to you time and time again, which is bound to happen because you're dealing with other humans, when that gets through happening, it leaves a very bitter taste in your mouth for the idea of starting again with another human. It already breeds the expectation of disappointment. And what Zane tries to do is sprinkle in, like all, it's an erotica romance novel, it's not murder mystery. What she tries to do is sprinkle in the hope, the very hope of black love, that is supposed to exist in us all anyway, or else the fate of mankind is doomed. So when people get angry about any depiction of black love, I say, just relax, relax. We need more. We need, you know, space age black love. We need historical black love. Like, we need all that. We need all that.
Yeah. But I'm not going that far.
I don't think he was.
I understand what you're saying. Because what I'm trying to say is, like, okay, so Zane has taken snippets of other people written to her and created a model. And people believe that that model of all these disparate people coming together, writing to her, and she crafts a tale, and then people start to believe that's how the tale should be. So my point of view on that would be, is that if you've been consistently hurt by a certain type of person, and you say, well, you know, all men are dogs, or all women are this and everything else, why do you keep looking for the same kind of person? That's the problem, because you keep going for the same type. You believe you have a type that you should go after, and apparently that type hasn't worked, but yet still you keep going after it, and then you believe, well, they all must be like that. So, and that's why I say, with the reality of it all, outside of the fiction that she's put together, and again, she's crafted a tale, and she's taken maybe thousands of people's tales and come up with one tale or two, depending on what she's writing about. And you're right, it's erotica, and it's designed to do certain things. But it's all, that's all it is supposed to be. Now, when you if you go home and read, you get done reading a Zane model of a novel or whatever else, and your man comes home, and he better perform for 35 minutes, when maybe he can't. Well, Zane says, you know, I'm supposed to be getting like this and everything else. Well, wait a minute. The reality of it, that you got a real man, a real flesh and blood man in front of you, who can't be what Zane has depicted. And that's the only thing I'm saying, my friend. I understand it. And look, you're absolutely right. You're 100% right. But what I was trying to say was slightly different than that. And that's why I say the reality is such that, you know, the reality, you got to come down.
Everybody ain't 6 foot tall. Everybody ain't 6 foot tall with sweatpants. They can't get their beard to connect. I ain't talking about me, but I'm just saying I'm only 5'10", and my beard won't connect. I ain't talking about me, though. This ain't about me. I'm just saying, everybody ain't that with the sweatpants and the being connected.
Nobody
and
is that. Nobody is all that. Nobody, and that's the point.
That's right.
And I think that's why we gotta have this show, because the point is to say, no, there is no perfect. And if you find them, it's gonna be a bad, bad thing. You know what I'm saying? What it takes to become some anomalous person, perfect person, it's cost worthy, and it's time, you know, time consuming, and it's not real. Like you say, it's not real in the end. But this is what I'm asking. I'm asking for three things out of people. All right, I'm asking them to, one, what we were talking about in the show earlier, just start out with a happier demeanor if they can pull it together. When you hit the streets with individuals, don't approach them with the full-on mean mug resting bitch face, hunched over shoulders, arms crossed across your chest, head slumped low. You know, it don't breed any type of communication between individuals. And secondly, when you do break the wall and get to know somebody, don't immediately make them next. And what I mean by that is everybody you meet is not next. Mm-hmm. Every human you run into is not
right.
going to be your future. We can't all be next. And there's nothing next here. There's somebody who start a conversation with you and he don't feel it, so he end the conversation with her, he don't feel it, and he worked the entire room, and vice versa. You know, women need to just, you can't have them all, ladies. They don't all, you know, they not all like waiting on you to depict them. You understand?
The last thing,
please, is what he said. Once you get past, you finally break the wall and you meet them, and then you realize they are next. Listen to them, because people are going to give you all these clues. They're going to give you, they're going to tell you what happened with mama. They're going to tell you what happened with daddy. They're going to tell you how they are with money, whether or not they like children, have some, or, you know, are they mistreating them and all that. They're going to tell you all that without even knowing it. But if you're not listening, you end up falling into a trap 6 months, 6 years, 60 years later, dealing with somebody who told you in the first 15 minutes, one, that they like to get high, and they hate kids, and they hate their mama. And once you figure all that out, you wouldn't have messed with them, you understand, if you knew, if you would have been listening. So listen. Just listen.
Does sex mess up a relationship? Meaning, as you said, everyone shouldn't be next or can't be next. So here we are, friends whom have made the decision to try to make one another next. Then that don't work for whatever our reasons. Maybe it was bad. Maybe it was just bad timing. Whatever. And now we don't even talk anymore. I don't get that. You know, my thing is, if we started out as friends, should we not still be friends?
No.
Why can't we?
No. Okay. No. You know, for some people, for me, for instance, I never believed in empty sex. You know, just be able to have sex and then act like nothing ever happened, because I give too much of myself to anything like that. So one of the things, when you cross, like you said, when you cross over, you've crossed over, okay, and you've gone into a different realm, okay, and therefore the friendship that you have is no longer just that, okay, because it's now other things are involved. What if they wanted you to come back over and over and over again, but you didn't want to? And then they get some kind of way. They get salty. Well, you know, I thought we were friends. Well, no, because once we did this, we stopped being friends. We became friends with benefits, or whatever it may be, whatever definition you want to add. So when you cross over to that, when you share, and let me tell you something, when you share that most intimate part of yourself, I mean, really, you strip yourself bare naked, spiritually as well as physically, and you give so much of yourself, what do you want? Did that mean anything to you at all? If it meant anything at all, are you really honestly to go back and act like it never happened? You know, that's me. That's me. And, you know, some people can do that. I don't think I ever could. Okay.
Well, that's, I know I could.
Really, that's why I don't have.
I know I could.
That's why I have a very few select friends who are exes who are still friends. Because, you know, that's just me. And I appreciate anyone who can do that. It's not for me, because once you cross over, it's going to be difficult for me to come back.
Right.
Yes, ma'am.
This is what it is. Look, you think about a relationship like a joint between two bones, like a hip bone, okay? And when you break the trust, you break that hip bone real good, right? And you can get up and start walking on it, but you look real funny hobbling around. You could try to use it, but if you look sick. You look like you hobbling around. The whole relationship look broken. And so why would you force yourself to, you just get a new hip.
You cannot go back to the person who broke you to heal you. It's not going to happen.
That's interesting because we were earlier talking about closure, and that's the thing that I don't get. Like, why would you look for closure from someone who broke you? Like, that don't make no sense to me. And I said don't. Yes, I did. It don't mean no sense.
You look for closure so you don't repeat the behavior.
Yeah, but I don't go back to someone whom I feel did me wrong to get an explanation from them why they did me wrong. Like, okay, what's done is done. Now I got to look at it, evaluate it, and try to figure out where I misstepped. You know, what I allowed to pass by, what I should not have said or done, and then I fix that. But I'm not going to you asking you, hey, remember when you left me for that dude? Why did you do that? I'm not doing that.
I don't even want to see you with that other person. No, I don't even want to revisit it.
Well, yeah, if they return, like you said, they trying to rekindle the friendship, right? I feel like it's legitimate not to hit the reset button like it never happened, but to address whatever that was that went down so that we either reestablish the parameters of the friendship or we resolve the past conflict or we playing games. I don't do all that casual sex, you know, nonsense. So I don't, you know, I guess that's a part of that crowd. But when you get ready to spend considerable amount of time with somebody, you don't want to be waiting on them to lie to you again. Lie to you in your face. Look at you in your eyes and tell you something they have no intentions of manifesting. What you do with that, I don't know. I don't know how you get past it.
Right. I feel you.
I'm with you on that. I'm with you at 100% because, again, sex is far too important to me to just dismiss it that way. And, you know, when I found out several times in my life that I was the object of a one-night stand, I felt insulted. I really did. I felt insulted. You know, that's all you need me for? That's all my work is? And what if it didn't work out? Oh, now I'm condemned because I didn't satisfy you on that one-night stand? I mean, look, come on. You know, people just do things without thinking. They don't take the time to measure their thoughts and their responses to stimuli. You know, and if you see it for what it is, you won't do it. You know you wouldn't. You look back and say, well, if I had known then what I know now. Yeah, that's right. Well, why don't you take a few 10-minute segments and think about what you're getting ready to do before you do any of that stuff?
I want you to finish your thought, but I'm going to build off of what you just said about knowing then what you know now. I'm going to build off of that.
Mm-hmm. That's the truth. It's the straight up
so
truth.
Because you've been married now for 34 years, you said, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How you make it work, brother? How y'all making it work?
Well, you know, it's interesting, and you've seen this. I know you've seen it because you liked it once. I said, loving someone makes you stay with them. Liking them makes you want to. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you have a good relationship with somebody that you enjoy each other, if you just like them, you have fun all the time. You know, my mantra in this marriage is affection and humor every day. That's just it. You show the affection to show that you care, you and the humor to make it enjoyable to be with. And you find a reason to have fun with each other. You know, you're still going to have to face some of the trials and the heavy decisions and everything else. But if it's worth it to get involved in the first place, make it worth it to stay. And that's part of the problem. People just are in and out of stuff like this, and they condemn other people for their bad choice. Okay? You have expectations which are just over the top. You know, and then this may have been instilled to you by somebody or you see somebody else and you compare your relationship or the lack of one to what they got going on and everything else. People always ask me years ago, what is your secret? I said affection and humor every day. And you'd know me a long time to know how much fun I try to make everything, Lee. I mean,
yes,
I'm serious.
Sir.
It's just the truth, sir. Man. It's got to be fun. And everybody that came to the meet and greets, we greeted them as if they were long-lost family, you know. It's crazy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people don't take that time. So one of the things that happens over the years is that you build another relationship that includes the both of you.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that for a second, Lee. You build a relationship
mm-hmm.
that includes the both of you. Not just you,
mm-hmm.
not just her, but the both of you.
Her.
And if you're not willing to
right.
do that, you're not ready. You're not ready. And don't let anybody tell you, well, why won't he commit? And, well, you know, why is she pressuring me to do this and everything else? You're not ready. And you're not going to make
right.
him ready. Why does he have to be ready? Because you want him to be. Or you're ready. You know, that sort of stuff. No, come on now. Otherwise, if you rush anybody into something, it's not going to last. It's just not
going to rebel.
And you get you should get married. To stay married, you should get married for keeps. You know, again, I know where if I speak. Go ahead, dear.
I don't know why your wife hasn't killed you yet, because I don't know if I can do 3 decades like that of hard labor. I would have already started slow. I would have slow poisoned you about, I don't know, about 17 years in, and I would have got the money and ran. I don't understand how they do it, but I will say this: all my best friendships are about truth, honesty, reciprocity, and compassion. If you can't pull none of that off, if you are so in yourself, you can be a good person.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can
mm-hmm.
be a Steve Jobs. You can be Bill. You know, I bet you Melinda Gates got something she tired of with Bill. You know what I'm saying? What I'm telling you is that compassion mean when she get cancer or lose her job, you don't make her feel bad. You don't rip up her textbooks when she go back to school. You don't use sex as a weapon. I mean, you know, it's all these, you know, little minute things that you can think to do for her in a day's time. All them things will make a bedazzle a woman where, you know, you could do get away with a lot, gambling and a whole lot of stuff. If you just could be compassionate and be present in the moment. That's what I wanted to ask you fellas. How do men master the art of being there without actually being there? Like, how do you be there in the room, like, listening to the same music, but not actually be there present in the moment? I honestly only see men be able to really do it.
How do you mean?
How do you mean that?
I'm not sure I understand the question on that.
One of the best ways I've seen it explained is when I ask men about their relationship with their father, and they say, yeah, he was in the home. He was there. But now we ain't close. And women all the time say, yeah, I live with my husband, but we not together. Like, how do you
mm-hmm.
actually
mm-hmm.
be there, but not be there? Like, how do you float around in the exact same square footage, yet not be fully engaged in what's going on in the space?
Well, in that respect, we got to remember that's their relationship. That's how they get along. It may not be for either any of us here, but that's how they have made it work for themselves. And I have cousins who've married for many, many years like that, and they're distant from each other. They may pass each other and grunt and everything else, but basically that's from a generation where you stuck and you stayed, no matter what, till death do you part. I mean, they believe that that's how they live it, okay? And they were prepared to put up with a lot of stuff for the sake of what they had going on. So in that regard, you know, the reason why my wife and I get along despite all my failings, because she's that kind of person. She was not going to give up on our marriage, pure and simple. So eventually I came around to it, and it made sense to me. So we get along wonderfully in that regard, because I am all bought in now. I'm all good to go. It's been a long time, too, that we've been this way. So every year or every day, our relationship grows stronger and stronger and stronger. Now, when you think in terms of, think in terms of people checking out of a marriage, okay? And the red flags have already been there. They've seen that. Well, what do you want? Do you want the title or do you want the marriage? Do you want the status or do you want the marriage? You can have them both if you just sit them down and you look. We got to talk about this. Can we talk about it for an hour? You got an hour? You can get to me, and just make it happen and say, look, I'm not going to interrupt you. I just need you to hear me out, okay? And what you do without that after that is up to you. But I want you to hear this out. Can we do that? Okay. And so there are grounds for which you can leave a marriage, but a lot of them can be overlooked if you stuck and stayed and made the person listen to you, if you made them hear your point of view, if you made them respect you enough to listen and want to consider your point of view. I remember one time my wife was storming around. She was mad. The old Donnie would have said, well, look, I ain't got time for this. But I said, all right, well, I'm listening. And she stopped in the tracks. She stopped dead in the tracks and sat down. And you could see both of us calm down. And she told me, I said, okay, well, I understand that. I'm sorry. See, if I'm wrong, it's one thing to say you're sorry, but you need to also ask for forgiveness afterwards. Just saying you're sorry is just a performative utterance. But you must ask for forgiveness. Will you forgive me then? Okay? And that's part of the give and take that has to take place inside of a relationship. Younger people nowadays, they ain't got time for that. If it ain't my need, if it ain't this,
in the moment,
I'm out.
Right.
I'm out. Okay? So that's one of the problems. The expediency sometimes can certainly get in the way. But it's, again, the expediency of the expectations that I talked about the other day, Lee. It's the expectations which are ruining relationships. Okay? Again, your relationship is real as both of you make it. It's not by anybody else's definition, you know? And, you know, I don't know how to say it other than that, you know?
But that's how you get together. You get together because you have common things. You met at school, or you met at the dance hall, or you met, you know, at happy hour. So you already know both of y'all like to drink or dance or learn. But here's my problem, all right? You get in, you get happy.
My wife is a pretty girl with glasses. That's what first did it. Lee knows that. Girl with glasses. Yes, Lord. Pretty girl with glasses.
That's it, baby. That's it.
I don't know.
For me, glasses, braces, or a lisp. I'm good.
You know what?
I'm good.
Are y'all self-esteem?
I'm certain as hell.
We're listening.
We know we like. No, I like that. We're listening.
All right. This is the last thing I want to ask, okay? The last thing I want to ask you is this, okay? How hard is it to conceive of just not repeating something that had got you in trouble before? Like, if you come home late, why don't you just say, okay, you know, make a commitment, I can't be late. If you forgot something, if you habitually forgetting something, you got to just say, all right, so I'm going to make a list, I'm going to do something, I'm going to do whatever I can to make sure I don't repeat this behavior for at least 6 months. Is that a really hard thing to do, or is it not, people often not worth to talk to me? Because that's one thing I wanted to figure. Most of the women I talk to have a problem with repeated behavior. Like he refuses to, you know, make, it's not small stuff, but just stuff he just won't stop doing.
So hold on, it's not small stuff or it is small stuff? Because if it's small stuff and it's a repeated behavior that you've clearly expressed that you ain't digging, to me, that says that he's not into you. Because if he's into you, he's going to make that change. You know what I'm saying? Now, it might not be on a dime because, you know, we do the Mars and Venus, and that's true, but the change will come. So, you know, he may make the same mistake, and you're like, you're right. And the next thing he's going to say is, baby, I'm sorry. I really am trying to do better, but I forgot this time. But, you know, I really am working to do better. Now, if he come at you like that, then, you know, you got somebody that's on your team. If he comes at you any other way or doesn't come at you at all, then you know that you might need to do something different because this dude ain't there. He's not there at all, and he won't be there with you nor for you. And he's letting you know in uncertain terms that he ain't there. Now, just like you all get duped, we all get duped as well. He may have gotten with you, not you, but I'm saying you as a woman. He may have gotten with a woman whom said this, that, and the third, was doing this, that, and the third, and as soon as they got together, she switched the whole mix. And he like, yeah, I didn't get in this ride for this. But that goes to Donnie's point of, okay, do you want the title or do you want the relationship? And that relationship is that thing that takes work. That relationship is that thing that keeps pushing you and you keep pushing for it because you understand that at the end of the day, that's the thing that sustains you. That's the thing that you really rest your hat on and you really want and need in your life. What we fail to have is, and I'm saying we as a generic, again, not we as a specific, what we fail to have is that long-term vision. We have that tunnel vision, which is a very short tunnel. It's like, you know, yo, I ain't feeling it now. I want to get out of it. So we get out of it. Then we like, yo, I ain't feeling the single crap. I want to get it back. Like, yo, where do you want to be? Because if you want to be in a relationship, you got to understand, like I said, and like Donnie said, you know, you got to put that work in, man. You got to put in that effort. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about us. And as you said earlier and alluded to about building that relationship, another relationship where it's not just her, it's not just him, it's about the both of them. There's no difference there. You know, we have to recognize and realize that neither one of us is the prize. The prize is our relationship. And what I have seen and what I believe happens too often is, you know, somebody got this whole thing twisted and got this syndrome going on where they believe that they are the ultimate prize. And that's just not the case, man. The ultimate prize is you all's relationship. The ultimate prize is knowing that you have someone there that is going to support you and be supportive of you, that's going to take care of you, not only now in your youth, but also later on when you get old, and, you know, help you make better decisions to build your future with or on or from. And, you know, I need a woman in my life to help me because I know I ain't got it all. You know what I'm saying? I definitely am looking for that. But at the same time, you know, she has to be a willing participant in this partnership thing, not just somebody who's going to be there because she got a big booty. And you know how much I love big booties. But I'm just saying, though, it got to be more than that. And I'm fine with, well, I'm not fine. That's a lie. I'm not fine. But I am more willing to be patient to find that partner than I ever have been before, because you know I'm getting older.
This is the new Levon, because she,
right.
And that's,
I'm getting
that's,
old.
That's
I'm getting older.
That's an admission and a confession that is going to be the start of you finding the person, because you've got to be ready to receive that person. Mm-hmm. You're getting there now because you've now confessed your
right.
faults. You've confessed your shortcomings. So once you can get those out the way and you're able to digest somebody else coming into your life. Because now your life's got to change to accommodate them. It can't just be you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It can't just be me. You know, we got to be able to add another person to our life and then create a whole new relationship because we come together and become one flesh. That's the issue.
That's it.
You plus me equals one. And so unless you've got the attitude that says, I am ready to submit to my partner to make this happen.
Mm-hmm.
Submission means
yeah.
that. Surrendering it all. Submission, surrendering, or whatever. And be committed to it. Okay, because temptation is going to come. There's going to be people that you're going to compare you to somebody else, and they find you money. Okay, did you ever see the movie Temptation by Tyler Perry?
Mm-hmm.
No, sir.
That movie, I lived part of that movie. And when I was watching it, I couldn't watch all of it. It was turning my stomach. It was making me ill.
Wait.
And when I think about this person came in.
Tyler Perry movie. A Tyler Perry movie.
Mm-hmm.
Moved, was that profound?
It was incredible. But it's that, now you think about that. We know, and I'm not mocking Zane in this respect, but that stuff happens. Because, you know, this guy planted the seed of doubt in her mind. Look at your husband. It's like those, oh, look, the Old Spice commercial. Look at your husband. Look at me. Look at your man. Look at me. Now look at me again. I mean, come on now, okay? And next thing you know, you say, well, dang, I could have that. Well, you know, but you gave up the tried and true. You gave up all the promise you made, the stick and stay for this. And at the end of the, at the end of the movie, you saw what happened to her. You saw what happened to all of them. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Is that what you really want? Now, what you find?
Oh yeah, okay. This is the lady who ended up contracting the virus. The lifelong ramifications of what it means to teach.
Yeah.
Oh, well, let me tell you. Okay, now I remember because you know. Hit all his movies crammed into my mind as one Mama Don't Play, so I have to tease them apart because I don't really care for depictions of women made by men. I think you guys can be cruel whenever y'all try to behave as if what y'all think women behave like. It gets real weird, all the way back from the Flip Wilson days. But now listen. The true price of cheating is not contracting some virus and losing your husband, okay? The true price is that you can't look in the mirror. You cannot look. If you're a decent person after you hurt somebody dearly, you cannot be. Your integrity and your morality get shaken, and you have to rebuild yourself and try to say, no, I'm not the kind of person who cheats. I'm not the kind of person who creates families on the side. I'm not the kind of person who takes money out of my household and puts it into another household. You have to stop looking at yourself in the mirror. And I want to know, you know, am I delusional? Do people even look in the mirror and say, yeah, you know, I'm a decent person, you know, or do they just not even look up unless they put no makeup? And you know, connecting a beard in the middle with the black stuff or something.
She got you, buddy.
How important is mirror time to being that one person that you can share? You know.
It depends on where you are in life, right? Right. I think it depends on where you are in life. I mean, if you're at that point in life where you're reckless, and that doesn't mean that you're young, you could be reckless at any stage in your life, and then mirror time is not important at all, because you could be using that mirror for something else. Would you say, like,
Hey, Lee, here's a question for the general audience. Do we teach our sons how to be committed husbands?
Hmm.
Do we teach them what it means to be a faithful? A woman has always been taught that, you know, you got to be faithful to your man. You got to do this and this. But do we teach our men to deserve it? Do we teach them how to be the central part of that woman's life?
I would say no.
They need to be? I guarantee you. I guarantee it's this. That's right.
I would say that there's a lot of women out here teaching men not to be that way. You know what I'm saying? Because I remember being told, don't let none of these little fast girls lock you down. You know, take your time. Da da da. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm getting the green light from y'all to do this. Okay. Well, hey, it must be okay.
We also got to remember, too, that a man only cheats with a woman who's willing to cheat with him. So that's the other part of it, too. So everybody's culpable here. Everybody's culpable. So.
Hey, man, had that conversation at the beginning. Cause, go ahead. We got to wrap up with him because we got to get Aaron on pretty soon.
What she's trying to tell you is there are fast girls and there are non-fast girls. What she's trying to say is your body is your temple, and you don't need to be sharing it willy-nilly. But what y'all
Hold on one second. You said there's fast girls and non-fast girls. For all you fast girls, dial 818-691-7.
No, I'm just playing. Call me.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Finish your point.
He's a rascal. He's a rascal. He's such a rascal.
So it sounds like the women in your life are trying to control you. They was trying to scare you away from other people's children. That's what that was. Discernment, right? You talked about it earlier, brother. You say, who is worthy? Who is worthy? And I say, we're all worthy. It's a repeated, it's like learning how or how not to do something. You have to say, when I use my mouth to say I'm going to be somewhere or I'm going to not do something or I'm going to do something, I do it. If you're a person that tells your loved one, listen, I'm going out and I'm going to act a fool Friday night. I'm going to get numbers and all that. I ain't going to call. I ain't going to have sex with none of them or give them no money. But I'm going to just see how good I still got it out here in the streets. I'm going to get. So if you find some numbers, I'm telling you, I'm coming home with them. She'll be cool. She'll understand. When he come home, she'll count the numbers and say, my baby still got it. Look how many numbers he got. He got 7 numbers. He told her.
You think so?
He told her. He said, I'm going out Friday night with the boys. We're going to kick it at the club. We're going to go to 2 or 3 clubs, and I'm going to be in rare form. I ain't spending no, buying no drinks and all that foolishness. I got my little budget. But I'm going to talk and mac and run all my game, and when I come back, I'm going to show you my numbers. A real woman, he said he was going to get the numbers, so when he come on with the numbers, don't act stupid. When he
said, Hold on. You committed a sin. You say a real woman. She committed a sin. She committed a sin.
Well, ask me what I mean by real. Ask me what I mean by real then.
Look, we got to wrap with Donnie. We got to get Aaron on. We got to get Aaron his opportunity to speak, too. We got to do that segment. Go ahead. Finish what you're saying.
Real women.
What does real woman
taking
mean?
Into account, real women take into the account the humanness of other people, and they don't have expectations beyond, and they don't make unrealistic claims on other humans. Real women know that, like the wheel, it spins and spins, and when they tell you, you can either listen or line yourself up for a world of hurt. They don't put they don't delude themselves. There's no more self-delusion meant.
Did you just make a new word? She said self-delusion meant. She just made a new word. I ain't fooling with her. I am not fooling
that
with
worked.
Her. Donnie.
That worked.
I'm glad you were able to join us. Brother, I'm glad that you're feeling better. Better? I'm sorry. Yes, I know, right?
Get your vaccine, man. I'm telling you now. Don't get shingles.
I never had chicken pox.
Well, you need to get the vaccine.
Really? Okay.
Whatever.
I thought
look
it
up.
Was...
You look it up. Talk to your doctor. Because this is shingles is basically adult chicken pox. So you got to be careful with that.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, again, glad you're feeling better, brother. Thank you.
I am. A lot better. You're more than welcome. Love you both.
Appreciate
you. Have a blessed weekend.
Nice to talk to you, brother. I'm going to rewind this and learn me some lessons. I know you dropped some pearls, but I had just got distracted from the verbiage. But I'm going to go back and relearn the lesson.
It's all good. You be good, brother.
All right,
sir.
Take care.
All right, peace.
Bye-bye.
All right. Brother Aaron. Oh, he dropped off. I guess we took too long. Hopefully he'll call back in. He's right, man. We've known one another because I've been out the Air Force for 20 years. So I would say 19 years I've known Donnie. I was a young man when I met him. That's a long time. That's almost half my life. I've known that brother almost half my life. Is that not wild? Brother Aaron, good morning. How are you? Okay. He's still not with us? Rasha?
Yes, and I'm so sorry about that because this is a profound brother. He's a friend of mine here in Kansas City, and I bought quite a bit of art from him, and the reason I wanted him to come on was actually a tail end of the show that we were supposed to have last week when we were discussing community leadership and what it plays out like. And this brother has mastered the five fingers of sales, meaning he has at least four or five different venues by which he's spreading his gift. And I just really wanted him to come on and discuss, you know, yeah, we could talk about his personal life with love and what does it mean with his art and what is it, how much does urban love play into the works that he play, you know, that he makes. And I just really wanted to have him on to make sure he had a plug for his, you know, his upcoming shows and whatnot, and that he could lend his talk mostly on leadership through creative arts is where we were headed with that. But honestly, he was to be a follow-up of our untimely closure last week when we weren't able to get the full time.
Yeah.
Because
don't be looking at me and pointing the damn finger. I know I messed up, but you know, sometimes that happens. But it's okay. We'll try to get him on to the shut your mouth. This is we'll try to get him on sooner rather than later. To give him his full time and do. I'm going to cut out early because we got some things to do still. And I still got a couple of things I need to do before my week gets started. Family, look, you all have a very pleasant holiday for you federal workers. This damn thing will be over in no time. Actually, I'm not even watching the ticker. Why did you not tell me I wasn't watching the ticker? Because the Senate was supposed to come back to order at noon. Looks like they're still negotiating
the circus
bill.
Is closed.
So,
just go home. The circus is closed.
No.
Go home.
There's a partial shutdown going on right now, and the full shutdown will happen in another 12 and a half hours if they don't come to a...
The carnival's closed. It's time to go home. There's nothing to see here.
Oh.
Move along.
Oh, he ain't getting what he wants, so we'll see. We'll see what's going to happen. This is stupid. The markets close low on Friday. They're going to close even worse on Monday. And the inexperience, the ineptitude of this cat. Pulling the troops out of Syria, pulling the troops out of Afghanistan. Why? Because Mathis left? Really? So you're going to make us less safe because Mathis left and you're pissed at Mathis. Really? Really, dog? Oh, my God, this guy needs to go. He just... Y'all, for those of you who elected this Joker, what the fuck were y'all thinking? Seriously. And look, I know Hillary was bad. I mean, absolutely bad. To the category of the worst. But this dude is on another level. And you thought it was going to be different? You thought it was going to be better? Really? What did you see in him that told you it was going to be different?
Dude,
what did you see in him that told you it was going to be better?
Some people wrote down Harambe the gorilla. Listen, stop looking for literacy. You know what? I told you to stop asking for the American voter to be informed. They just want to vote for the thing that makes them most comfortable until somebody makes so much pressure that they can't. Okay? You know how comfortable that man made these people. And now leave them alone. It was going to crumble. Nobody. It don't matter who was in the chair. The bank account is fucked up. I'm telling you, go ask the Federal Reserve, and they'll tell you that the account is all messed up. Somebody got to hit the reset button because we hemorrhaging money, and it ain't no reason why. They can't even find where the hemorrhage is coming from.
Oh, there's plenty of reasons why. The biggest reason is the drain by the military. That's the biggest reason. The second reason is... Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security. That's the second reason. But that's definitely where our money is hemorrhaging. And they can't find it. They don't want to report it because then it cuts into other things. But that's for a different day. I ain't going in on this dude today. I refuse. I want to end this year on a reasonably sound, upbeat, up-tempo note, and I'm not doing it by going in with this dude. And God willing, the creek don't rise. We don't have to go in on this dude next week either. But until then, you all be good. You all be safe. Love you. Peace.